Well, we're in a Lenten series, Ecclesia, called The Shape of Joy, and we're looking at what real joy looks like. And I've been out for a few weeks. Kristen and I had a daughter get married. And then the week after that, well, let me tell you what the sermon's about, and then my last few weeks will make even more sense. So in some ways, the sermon could be summarized in a quote by Blaise Pascal. And this is what Pascal says. He says, all of humanity's problems stem from man's inability to sit quietly in a room alone. I remember reading that as a young man. It's in Pascal's Pensées, right? And having periods of life where I thought, he's right, I don't want to sit in a room alone with my thoughts. Henry Nouwen, a spiritual mentor for me, says it this way. He says, without silence, it's virtually impossible to live a spiritual life. Nouwen's right. And yet, I got to tell you, Ecclesia, I'm a pastor. I'm deeply spiritual. I love Jesus. But I also can struggle from time to time with allowing for space for silence and for listening. In fact, my last few weeks, after throwing a big wedding party that was just Kristen and I got to be a part of just a true celebration, right? But it was a celebration with a Motown band, and a bunch of these kids went to Auburn, and so Auburn was winning at that point, which, by the way, go Cougs. Anybody else like, wow, how about the Houston Cougars? Man, they're exciting to watch. And in the middle of all that, then we were invited last weekend. Christian, my youngest, who's at Baylor, wanted Kristen to be there for his new fraternity's Mom's Weekend. And what you do at Mom's Weekend is they, like, say they're going to cater something and then they don't, and you show up at little events and they don't know how to organize anything yet, but maybe they're figuring it out. And then at night, they want you to do with them what they normally do, which is go to little college bars, literally, because I went to Baylor. If you went to Baylor, you know what I'm talking about. After 30 years, I was back at Scruffy Murphy's. If you hadn't been to Scruffy Murphy's, 30 years ago, it smelled like beer and looked like, this is what it looked like when this was how I prepared for my study for silence, to preach to you on silence. We spent the evening at a really loud, if you want to feel old, right, go to a bar like this. So two weekends ago, we went to Baylor and I spent a long, long night at Scruffy Murphy's. And then this weekend, in order to prepare to preach to you on silence, Kristen and I went to a concert at a venue with 167,000 speakers and 1.2 million on the external part of it, 1.2 million LED lights. It's a little venue they built in Las Vegas they call the Sphere. This is how I prepared for, I had a photo, there you go. That's what it looked like. Apparently the Backstreet Boys are coming there. So I can tell you, we saw a much better show. It was the Eagles with Vince Gill. And Vince Gill, Glenn Frey's son, Deacon Frey, is amazing. I tell you all that to tell you, like, that's a lot of noise, 167,000 speakers. And if you get the chance to go, I encourage you to go. We actually had a church member at the West Side that went to that show and said, there is no way my pastor can't experience that. And so we used frequent flyer miles and they bought us tickets and we saw this amazing show. But most of my life, probably like yours, is filled with noise. In fact, I had a quick survey for you. And I actually had 20 points to this survey, but I'm not going to get through much of it. And I want you to be honest with me and tell me where you fall with this. Here's the first one. I fall asleep with the TV or music or a podcast playing. How many of you are honest to go, you need noise to fall asleep? Or secondly, I use noise as a constant background while doing tasks like cleaning, cooking, driving. I check my phone or scroll social media when I'm alone or waiting rather than sitting in silence, right? You look at a doctor's office in the waiting room, right? Everybody. I avoid quiet spaces because they feel uncomfortable or empty, right? I can go on. I got 20, but I just sent a few. When we look deep in, we realize, like, there are times I avoid the thing that possibly I need most. And in Richard Beck's book that's been guiding us through this series, this is what Beck says. He says, we live in a world that's drowning in noise. Kids timed perfectly too, by the way, right? That's the kind of noise I like. A constant barrage of stimuli that leaves us exhausted and spiritually malnourished. This perpetual noise isn't just external, it's internal. Our anxieties and fears and unspoken shames contribute to the clamor. So, Ecclesia, I'm not expecting any of you to become monks. And in fact, if you need the TV to go to sleep, so be it. But I'd like to invite you into the tension to say, it's quite possible that unless you allow for a little bit more space to hear from God and to silence the constant clamor, that you're going to miss out on some things that are really important. So I got four things for you today that I want you to consider. And here's the first. Part of what we need to do together, Ecclesia, is to turn down the noise of our own ego. So often, we're at the center of the story. We're at the center of everything that's happening. The world's falling apart and tariffs and the economy, but we're mostly thinking about us. Carl Jung says, and I think he's right. He says, your vision will become clear only when you can look into your own heart. Who looks outside dreams, who looks inside awakens. And the truth is, we have to dial things down and change and shift our focus from our own ego to see the things that are adrift, that are amiss. And something happens when we get into that space. The psalmist said it best in Psalm 131. And the psalmist says, O Eternal One, my heart is not occupied with proud thoughts. Now, let me just remind you what I think are proud. We think of proud thoughts as thinking highly of ourselves, right? We think of proud thoughts as arrogance. What I would tell you is that for most of us, it manifests as the opposite. It manifests as imposter syndrome. It manifests as you're not quite good enough. These are actually proud thoughts. So the psalmist says, my eyes do not look down on others. I don't even begin to get involved in matters too big, matters of faith, state, business, or the many things that defy my ability to understand them. Of one thing I am certain, my soul has become calm, quiet, and contented in you. And then we get one of the most beautiful images in Scripture. Like a weaned child resting upon his mother, I'm quiet. My soul is like this weaned child. Now, if you've been a part of weaning a child, right, you know that something shifts when that kid no longer wants the thing that it wanted so much and can just be present and just be content. And my hope and prayer, Ecclesia, is that in the midst of the sermon, as you come to Eucharist, that this would be a time you'd say, I want to feel that sense of contentment. So what else? Here's the second. That we'd turn down the noise and we'd listen. Now, I got to be honest with you. This is not my best attribute. I'm a professional talker. Many of you are. We're really good at talking, and it's hard to listen. And there's a few things you need to know, both in our relationships with one another and with God, that listening is really important. There's a few things that just to know about listening. Listening is loving. When you listen, you are declaring to the person you were listening to or to God, this is an act of love. And we can't say we love if we don't listen. Listening is healing. Not just for the one being heard, but the one that is listening. It brings about healing in our stories. It helps us resolve places of tension. Listening is spiritual. I would tell you there's nothing more divine that you can do than to help someone else feel seen and loved. And then lastly, hear this, listening, this is for all of us, by the way. Listening requires restraint. My counselor, Dan Allender, says it often. He says, most of us listen just long enough to reload, right? just long enough to, like, I gotta reef it, and then we're back. And real listening requires restraint. This is the thing I long for mostly for you in this, to have time of silence with God, because when you do, this is the message that you get from God. I promise, each and every time, if you get silent and listen long enough, you will hear God echo very clearly his love for you. And when you feel loved by God, you feel known by God, it shifts everything. And for many of us, we're not sensing that love because we haven't stopped and slowed down enough to listen. Thirdly, my hope and prayer is that we would turn down the noise and we would Sabbath well. Ecclesia, especially those of you that aren't on staff at Ecclesia, this is your day. This is your day to establish health and spiritual health. It's your day to catch your breath. It's your day to listen to God. And for most of us, I would tell you, we ought to have a period of time that we are just waiting and listening to God on our Sabbath. Sabbath is an act of resistance in a world that's filled with noise and clamor and work. And this is our unique place to say, this is who I'm going to be. Silent. Thomas Merton put it this way. He said, silence is not just a discipline to be practiced. It's the very atmosphere in which the soul can grow. This could be a totally Thomas Merton sermon, by the way, because this is so much of what he talks about. But he puts it another way and says, there is greater comfort in the substance of silence than in the answer to a question. So many of it, we're trying to resolve things, and what Merton says is so key. If we will just be present in the moment, beautiful things begin to happen. And then lastly, I want you to hear this. If you can turn down the noise and choose to love out loud, let's let our love speak. Let's let our actions speak. Merton, again, says it this way. In a world of noise, confusion, and conflict, it is necessary that there be places of silence. In such places, love can blossom. This week, can I invite you to have a time of silence and prayer and possibly even action as we think about our brothers and sisters in places like Myanmar? There's been another earthquake that is so deadly and destructive that we don't know yet how many people have actually died. And for many of us, our life just keeps moving. But if we could stop and be present and contemplate, not just read the news, but listen and hear. And I believe most of the time that will lead us to action. It'll lead us to give. It'll lead us to respond as a church, to be generous. This, by the way, is part of what we're doing now. And one of the reasons that we encourage you to say, when you give to Ecclesia, you enable us not just to do the things we do at these three campuses, but to respond when there's a crisis like that. And our friend Diego, that's been with us at the Venezuela border, we've been with him at Turkey during the earthquake, is already leading a team in Myanmar. And we'll tell you more about that as we go forward. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his book Life Together, puts it this way. He says, right speech comes out of silence, and right silence comes out of speech. You hear that again? Right speech comes out of silence, and right silence comes out of speech. One of the things I learned many years ago when I took one of my first extended silent retreats was that my brain was operating at a like popcorn kind of, I just couldn't, there were so many things, call it ADD, whatever, but it was moving so fast. And that sometimes I would talk and my words couldn't quite catch up, and I would add a few more ums because I just couldn't keep up with what was happening in my brain. And I'll never forget doing my first silent retreat, and at the end of it, I realized I wasn't saying I wasn't having these, my brain slowed down enough that things got in sync again. I want that for each and every one of you. And so I asked one of our pastors that's better at seeking out silence and balance this week to give us a few things that would be really helpful. And so Pastor Mitzi had sent over for me a few of these things. So this is what I want to invite you to consider. Lastly, let me give you this quote from a Buddhist monk, because no sermon on silence in a Christian church should ever be absent a quote from a Buddhist monk. Thich Nhat Hanh says it this way. He says, silence is essential. We need silence just as much as we need air, just as much as plants need light. Ecclesia, my guess is your brain's firing a little too fast as well. And I get it. Like, I prepared part of this sermon while I watched the Cougars come back against the Duke Blue Devils, right? I get it. Like, I knew it was hypocritical in the moment, and yet I wasn't going to stop, right? Like, the game was on. I was going to do both. And so be it. This is where we live. But we all need to then set aside some additional time to truly rest, to rest our brain and our heart. Mitzi's suggestions were these things. One is that every Sunday during Lent at both of our campuses, we have a time of contemplative prayer. So downtown, it's at 10:20 in the prayer room. West side, it's at 11:20. Secondly, we have a labyrinth here on our campus. It looks really beautiful from above, by the way. And Paul Randall has written a really helpful piece. If you're like, what's a labyrinth and how do I use it? And it's on our website, ecclesiahouston.org/labyrinth. On any beautiful day or a not beautiful day that's kind of cold and odd, it would still be a good day to put on your jacket and just go out and walk the labyrinth. And you could do it a lot of different ways. I like to walk in and just say, what are the things that are cluttering my life and my mind that I need to let go of, right? And by the time I get to the middle, I get some separate time. And then as I leave, right, I get to leave and go, now what is it, God? I'm action-oriented. What is it that you want me to do, right? There are plenty of ways. Paul's article is really helpful. But our labyrinth would be a great place to start. I had other things on here, and now I can't find them. But, oh, the Ruah Center. So the Ruah Center, and we've got, which I should have had on here, a silent retreat coming up in July. Go to the Ruah Center. It's a great place for silence. We will have an official retreat sometime in July, and I'll make sure that we get you that information. But you can go anytime, any day, and book some time at the Ruah Center. And they have a labyrinth. They've got great walking trails. They've got an art room. They've got a chapel you can meditate and pray in. And I would tell you, a day of silence would be like better than it's a spiritual massage. There is an app of which I can't remember the name. It's called Simple Pause, that Mitzi's friend, who's a spiritual director, created and used, that has some very simple practices that would guide you into silence. And then lastly, there is a very helpful book written by Ruth Haley Barton called An Invitation to Solitude and Silence. It's a very short read. It's a very quick read, because you get to read it and then start to practice it. And all of those things, I think, would be really helpful. Ecclesia, as we turn towards Easter, my guess is there's a lot of noise for all of us. Would you today take 5 minutes of silence and just ask God, what is it that you want to teach me in this season? And listen. And if something extraordinary doesn't happen, give it 5 more minutes. And if not, then let's talk about how to dig deeper through all of it. My hope and prayer and my experience is that if I'll truly tune things out and listen, that God always speaks. Would you give me a moment to pray for you and with you as we come to communion? God, we thank you for the gift of your Son. As we journey through Lent, We're reminded that you love us so much that you would send, as it says in John 3, your only begotten Son. Because you love the whole world and you love us specifically. And we pray, God, today that we would not get lost in a world filled with chaos and noise and forget that love, but that we would set aside time. Just as plants need sunlight, we need silence and rest. Help us to find it and to connect deeply with you. As we turn our hearts towards Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, we pray, Lord, that the power of the resurrection, the hope of Jesus, would fill us in trying and difficult times. We pray all of this together, and we pray it in your name. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.